Steve, you don't mind the hat?
I don't hate the hat.
I like it.
I think I like it. I think like cool. I don't know if I would. I like the Jazz logo on it.
I think it's light enough that you can't really hat. Tell.
Yeah, it's just a spring hat, like a summer hat.
I wouldn't like it as much if it was like a black Jazz logo, but since it's like tan, it kind of blends in with it. I like it. I dig.
Yeah, I was into it.
It's like a hat you wear with like a long sleeve black t-shirt, jeans,
or like some like past like a white t-shirt, like a white flowy shirt, maybe some
like
maybe
a floral like, shirt.
No, nah,
I think
too much
the
floral.
Too floral might be too much. That's
what
too
about
much
floral shorts?
Unless you're like floral line, like you're like floral top, like hat. Shirt, pants,
the whole
socks,
unit
floral,
is
everything.
Floral.
Yeah. Maybe,
yeah.
I think if you do that, then I think you can.
What is the?
Obviously, the Jazz logo is the statement on that.
Every
on that outfit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I'm all floral with the note. That's a wild. That would be a wild choice.
I like the hat though. I dig it.
I don't hate it. I don't hate it.
Yeah, I'd wear it.
I would.
Are we recording right now? Welcome on into the Utah Blockcast. Tyson, I hear you do a pretty good impression of...
Oh, I totally forgot.
Oh, man.
Oh, I totally forgot. I
thought we were going to get through this without you calling me out on that.
I really thought we were going to get away from that.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't have to take our word for it. I have the recording.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's my text notification now.
Tyson, Cam, how are you guys?
Good.
It's been a minute.
It's
I've been absent.
Back,
you guys did great last week.
Yeah, Steve ghosted us last week.
I did.
You guys, were sick. It's okay.
Yeah, you can probably still tell. I'm a little stuffy.
We got nervous before because we're like before we started, but Cam and I looked at each other. We're like, how do we open this?
Yeah,
how does Steve
it's
normally
weird.
Do this?
I really.
It
weird.
Is. I took
is
a week
weird.
Off, and it took me a minute to like, okay, how do I do this? What's the process like? And it's hard. It's hard.
Yeah. I used to give you a lot of shit back in the day of the 3-2-1 count in and like having, I get it now. It's
you
so
do.
Awkward to just be like, I'll start when I'm damn well ready.
It's so weird. It's nice having that official, like, okay, countdown. Here we go. 3-2-1. Boom.
I'll start when I'm damn well ready is pretty much the motto of the Blockcast podcast.
Yeah, exactly. It's good to have you back, though, bud.
Appreciate it. Oh, man, last week was brutal. Like I said, so you can still probably tell. It's lingering still.
You're good.
But I'm good. Appreciate Andrew and Porter hopping on last week as well. That was a fun episode, you guys.
It was a lot of fun.
Thanks, man.
Yeah,
those guys are great.
It was a good one.
They were nice to jump on short notice and.
Yeah, it was like Monday afternoon.
Like,
hey, who can we get? Because Steve's out.
Yeah, I texted Porter a link to the show, and he's like, I'm like, oh, he doesn't know who I am. I'm just a guy sending him a link to a video live stream.
That could have been anything. That was a risk that Porter took to click on that thing.
I think that's is that a thing Porter does? Porter just clicks live stream videos. So send Porter links. Porter will click those. Shout out to Porter.
Oh, man, it's great.
And Andrew.
And Andrew, always, of course, Andrew.
The pod father.
Appreciate those two hopping on last week. So obviously, I'm Steve, Tyson, Cam. You can follow us on Twitter, sbartle247, Tyson.
Tyson Mall.
Cam.
At @cam_Utah.
Perfect. And then, as always, make sure to follow the Blockcast on Twitter. @blockcastpod. I always do that every week. Blockpass cod.
That's
squatter nut bosh.
We'll serve that at the tailgate. We'll serve that at the tailgate this year. Some blockpass cod. Tweet at us what you think that is. Tweet at us what you think blockpass cod is. Like, what's that recipe?
Oh, man. and make sure, like I said, follow us. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Want to thank intern Bree for helping us out with our social media stuff. She's been great the last couple weeks, chopping up some videos for us on those platforms and making it super accessible for a lot of our listeners and subscribers to find content there. Make sure to subscribe to UtahBlockcast.com. I'm really struggling.
Dude, one week off and it's just, you're just done. Woof,
this is rough. Do you want to handle this?
Oh, no.
Absolutely not.
I tried once and
this is never tough. Again.
You're actually not allowed. You were out of sick days.
Yeah, I am. I'm done. The rest of the year, I'm done. No days off. So subscribe, UtahBlockcast.com. $10 per month gets you full access to all of our posts, subscriber-only podcast, Blockcast Off the Record, and access to the Utah Blockcast Discord, our online community, which is great. We have a lot of fun conversations on there. We talk about anything and everything on the Utah Blockcast Discord, so it's great. So appreciate all of our supporters, all the subscribers there, and it's been a lot of fun to kind of see the community grow and people just having those conversations each and every day on whatever they want to talk about.
No joke on anything and everything. We opened a channel this week called Self-Contained Underwater Breathing Apparatus.
Oh, wow.
For those who are interested.
I didn't notice that.
So
the last one that I noticed was physical health.
Oh, yeah. No, so. Man, you've been sleeping.
Yeah, you have
been
sleeping.
We've got all sorts of channels.
Once again, 1 week off and you have no idea what's going on anymore.
Steve was sick.
Yeah, I was. Whew, buddy.
We got a travel channel now, too, right?
Dad was asleep, and we were blowing up the channel.
Yeah, so excited for today's show, obviously, to be back. We're going to hit on a few subjects. The Super Bowl with Britton Covey and Brian Johnson, also Kyle Whittingham's son, Alex Whittingham, on the Chiefs side of things. It'll be fun to talk about Britton Covey being there. First year in the league, going to the Super Bowl. That's pretty cool. Want to hit on a Twitter topic of conversation, okay. Brand value, where Utah's place is.
We're talking about the floral hat again.
Hopefully, Bob will chime in on the topic there.
Yeah, Bob, if you could get back to
Bob.
Us,
please, Bob.
This is honestly, it's reaching a tipping point, Bob.
You need to get this under control. You started this.
Apparently, yeah. Like, Bob, it, you can't just bow out now.
He opened a can of worms, washed his hands, and be like, yep, I'm done.
What a troll. That's troll behavior, for sure.
That really is.
Posted something and dipped. Nate was pissed. and then, want to talk on Andy Ludwig. He's been mentioned as an offensive coordinator candidate for a number of Power 5 programs. So I want to hit on Ludwig and what he's meant to Utah and the offense and just what it means to have Andy Ludwig here at Utah. So pretty cool. Do we have any quick hitters from Twitter, Cam? Do we have anything that we want to hit on from Twitter or anything like that? Tyson?
I got nothing.
Nothing?
I don't think, we didn't have anybody reach out this last week.
Yeah.
Everybody was probably just so.
Didn't ask for
They
questions.
Were just so content and fulfilled by last week's episode. They were just like, got nothing. Nope. They were like, yeah, Anyway. So if this week you feel you have some questions, shoot us anything.
Yeah, but, please.
But otherwise, we can talk more about the hat, if you want.
Ooh, the floral hat. The Utah Jazz hat. Floral hat.
I'm in.
I'm Let's in, talk. Too.
You're in
on the floral hat.
I mean, I am too.
I would buy it.
I would wear it. I don't know if I would buy it, but I'm just not like, every time I try to wear a hat, I don't feel like it works.
Yeah, you're not a hat guy.
I'm a beanie guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are a beanie guy.
I think my head is too small for hats. Anyway, that's why I can't do a flat brim, because it like just makes me look like a child wearing his older brother's like high school baseball hat.
I can
from
kinda
the previous
see that now.
Season. And yeah. So like having a little bit of facial hair helps now, but it doesn't help a lot. But yeah, beanies are
small,
okay.
Small head. You know what you need? You need one of those, the big hats. Have you seen those? The oversized
oh, yeah, the
hats?
Big ones.
The big hats. They're literally called big hats.
That's just big hats.
Big
yeah.
hat.
Yeah.
You're not talking about, it's not like a cowboy hat.
No. No, it's a hat that's
big.
It's a flat brim hat, but it's huge. Like it's like 10
we,
times.
We
the
understand
size
that
of the one
I'm
wearing.
Problem was that my hats looked too big to start. Right?
So yeah, now but if it gets to it.
Yeah, if it gets to a certain point, then it makes it look better.
You own the
people
fact
like,
that
his head
it does.
Isn't small. That hat's just it's just huge.
Yeah, look,
I get it now.
Exactly.
I look, got it now.
You just got
that's,
it.
That's why my pants are so big.
Look, this guy. Oh, no.
I wasn't ready for that. No, dude, you got to, if you get a flat brim hat, you just got to, you got to bend the bill.
About.
You got to bend the bill like this.
Oh, I do not know if I can wear that hat.
Yes, you can.
I don't think. Intern Bree, what do you think?
Intern Bree's, her face said it all. But no, you should lean into it. It would look great.
Absolutely. Okay.
You could own it.
Yeah, we'll tweet
you
out a photo.
You could probably look
we'll
at this
tweet
guy.
Out this photo.
Yeah.
In fact, Steve, send me that. I'll tweet it right now so people can see before this episode drops.
He probably has a very small
context.
Head. Where normal flat brim hats look too big.
Me and,
but now that he's just leaning into a big hat, it looks fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are there any Utah big hats?
I'm sure you can make one.
Yeah.
I'm sure you could order one.
Yeah.
Okay. We can look into this.
Yeah. We'll get you a floral big hat.
See about it. Do they make big beanies?
I don't know about that.
That sounds more my style.
It does, but no.
It's also winter.
The Utah Blackcast big hat will be like our version of the turnover chain.
Yeah.
Oh.
We'll pass that around.
Okay. Yeah. We'll get back to this.
We'll get back to that.
We're going to have to figure out how we earn the big hat.
So we're in on the floral hat. So back to the floral hat.
Yes,
we're in.
Wait, now that I say it, I have no idea how big the floral hat is. I've only seen it in the photo. It could be huge.
It's not. It's as the resident hat
It's only like the size of a medium hat, not a big hat.
Like as the resident hat connoisseur, you know the hat I was wearing last week?
No.
Okay. It's a New Era hat. It's a normal just sized hat. It's adjustable.
Got it.
It's the 940, it's the snapback with the curved bill and the and the high point
This is great radio for people
crown.
Who have no idea what we're talking about. Yeah. But there's a floral hat on that's been circling around Jazz Twitter, and I'm into it.
And our friend Gary hates it.
We'll tweet that out, too.
He says it looks like an old lady's couch.
Yeah, shout out to Prattmane.
Yeah.
Yeah,
shout out. Shout out, Gary.
It does kind of look like an old
style,
lady's couch.
It's the old dad style brim. It's not the flat brim.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
It's very curved.
I might be out.
It's very curved.
What?
Yeah, I might be out.
It's not a little curved. It's very curved.
Very curved. Yeah.
You are not a curved brim.
Those are my favorite kind
I'm
of hats.
I'm a flat brim.
Yeah.
Yep, I'm a flat
They look
brim.
Good on your appropriate
I have
size
the
head.
You have to have a certain head to wear the flat brim and it not be, you know, not come with certain, you know, connotations.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So, and I have the head to where the connotations don't matter.
Normally I do, but I like the curved brim better. Like the hat I'm wearing right now, this is normally a flat brim hat, but I curved the bill to make it not
looks
be
good.
Flat brim. I think
it looks
better.
Good.
This kind of content is why we're the best hat podcast on the market.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
I've always said that. And I always will.
So should we dive into things then? if we hit our hat quota?
I think we've hit our hat quota.
I thought we were wrapped up.
Yeah. That's it. We're
done.
That's it. That's the
episode.
Now
that we've talked about the hats, we'll see you in April. If there's more hat content, you know, NFL draft, lots of hats.
Yeah, there you
it's
go.
A big hat month in April.
Oh God! One last thing is the hats that the guys have been wearing on the sidelines this year in the NFL have been atrocious. Like the weird tie dye ones, and then now like in the playoffs they're wearing like the ones with like the logo, and then there's like pennants underneath them that say like AFC East or NFC West or whatever the team is from. I hate them.
What's the last time you saw one of those hats and were like, I need that?
Never.
I agree. I've never seen the sideline hats in the NFL
like,
and been like, now, like, here we go.
And the draft hats
are
just as bad.
They're like a mockery of what hats could be.
Yeah.
And I don't understand it. I don't know why they're putting these on the sideline. Like, why wouldn't you just make cool hats?
Yeah. I don't know.
Have we spent enough time on hats?
All right,
I think
good.
So.
We're
yeah.
Good.
It's
Sorry.
Definitely the off season.
Sorry, I had to hijack that one.
No, it's
not the off season for hats.
Yeah, off season. Yeah, it's never an off season
never
for hats.
Hats are bigger than ever.
The further They're we huge. Get into the off season, the more hat season it is. Guys, so Super Bowl next week. First of all, Eagles, Chiefs. I think we can both agree. We can all agree, not both, all of us, including Bree. Chiefs.
I thought you were just talking about you and Bree.
No. Chiefs, Eagles. Is this the best matchup that we could ask for? First, we'll start there. Yeah. We'll get into Britton Covey and Brian Johnson and all that. Alex Whittingham as well on the other side. But is this the best matchup we could ask for? Or did you want to see Cincinnati?
I love Joey B. It's so hard
for me.
You're
on the train, huh?
But I mean, but Mahomes is a generational talent. It's, I mean, ever watching him play feels like a special moment, and like getting another Super Bowl with him is a treat. I can't imagine being disappointed about having Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl, except that Joe Burrow doesn't get to be in.
Tyson, you have very strong opinions on Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. What do you think?
Where's that going?
Tom Brady.
Oh, God. Don't. No. No.
Has Tom won Super Bowls?
Won seven.
Stop. Oh. Stop. If anybody saw me on Twitter like this week, I definitely got in a huge, long argument about Tom Brady. And we won't get into that today.
I think we should. Missed it. Not. What's your Tom Brady take?
What's my Tom Brady take?
Yeah.
You really want to hear it?
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Uh-oh. Like, is it broadcast appropriate?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hit me.
Tom Brady fell ass backwards into the greatest quarterback situation of all time. Had he gone to any other team besides the Patriots, he would be Vinny Testaverde at best.
Hmm. Hmm.
I'd like to subscribe to your newsletter, but I'm not sure I'm there. I don't think what you said is wrong until you got to he'd be Vinny Testaverde if it weren't for the Patriots.
I'm just saying.
Those Patriots teams did not have a lot on their offense.
Teams had the best one, like probably the best NFL coach of all time. They never had like worse than a top five defense.
Was he at that point?
Yes.
Bill Belichick?
Yes.
I will say that Bill Belichick is, I'm not an NFL guy, but like he is a defensive coach.
Yeah.
He is a very good defensive coach.
Yeah.
Tom Brady doesn't play defense.
I know.
Yeah.
But Tom Brady benefits very much from very good defenses.
Sure. So does Joe Flacco.
You can take Tom Brady's first Super Bowl and his last Patriots Super Bowl and put that completely on the Patriots defense.
All right. Joe Flacco, same situation. Does Joe Flacco have seven Super Bowls?
Maybe not seven, but he's got at least five.
Ooh, I don't know about that, man.
Yeah.
Wins against Joe Flacco.
I don't know.
That's
about
a metric
that,
we need to measure quarterbacks. Like, how many more wins did you provide?
You wanted a hot take? I gave you a hot take. That's my hot take.
That was a hot take
on Tom Brady.
It generates some conversation. That's
and that's
for
fine.
Sure.
People can get at me on Twitter all they want. You will never change my mind.
Roz is so mad right
she
now.
She is
so
mad.
Fuming.
So mad.
I'm pretty sure Dunzot is too.
I don't
Twitter
disagree.
Too.
I would like to stoke it a bit, but I feel like we're getting a little off track.
We are.
I definitely think he fell. He definitely fell ass backwards into an amazing situation. There's no doubt about it. But then he did still have to play quarterback for 24 years.
Sure, yeah. NFL. Sure, yeah. I agree.
Was it 24?
I don't know.
It's
it was a lot.
Absurd number. It starts with
it's
a 2.
45 now.
Listen, so, I'm not saying he's not a good quarterback. Tom Brady is a very good quarterback. Vinny Testaverde was a very good quarterback who just happened to play for garbage teams.
Okay. Is Patrick Mahomes the best quarterback of all time then?
He's getting there.
So like I guess like, it's the point of this is to say Tom Brady is not the true GOAT.
I would say right now it's Peyton Manning.
Okay.
And wow. I think Patrick Mahomes is well on his way
gas.
To getting there.
Listen, now we're cooking with gas.
Listen,
I
don't
Peyton.
Get like
But
how,
man, I don't know about
Peyton,
that.
Peyton has more first-team All-Pro selections than Tom
Which
Brady has total.
That's great. But, like, Tom looks at his hand, and I'm not a Tom Brady guy at all. I'm not a Patriots guy at all. But you got seven rings on your fingers. Like, that's a lot of rings.
So is Bill Russell better than Michael Jordan?
Bill Russell has 10 rings.
Is he better than Michael Jordan?
No, he's not.
Then you can't say he looks at his hands.
Okay,
he has
but when Peyton
rings.
Manning gets six rings,
ring.
When Peyton Manning gets six rings... We'll have that conversation.
Peyton Manning's defenses were garbage.
No, they weren't. No, they weren't.
Peyton Manning's defense won him his last Super Bowl with the Broncos. He had a noodle
on. Yeah.
That's very true. It's very true.
I'm a Broncos fan. I watched that Super Bowl. He had a noodle arm. They won that game because the defense showed out against the Panthers.
Anyways, so back to Mahomes.
Von Miller was MVP of that game.
Oh, buddy.
Back to Mahomes. Like Cam said, Patrick Mahomes, and I say this really begrudgingly as a Raiders fan, is just absurdly good, and it's amazing to watch. The stuff that he can do on a football field is ridiculous. And getting a chance to see him, especially against the Eagles defense this year, and then also seeing Jalen Hurts on the other side. Sure, he doesn't do all the crazy passing things, but he is he's having an MVP season as just as much as Mahomes is.
Yeah.
So I think this is going to be this. I think this is the best matchup
that
we could have had.
I know it's not apples to I know it's little apples to oranges, but like, man, Ravens fans got to be looking at Jalen Hurts like this is who we want Lamar to be, right? Like, the guy who's durable and who can, like, famously incredibly strong, like one of the strongest quarterbacks who have ever been in the league, and just doing it on the ground, doing it through the air, and, you know, kind of doing it. Man, I don't want to say that it was surprising, right? But, like, I don't think people thought Jalen Hurts would be able to do what he's doing in Philly.
No,
absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
The narrative around Jalen Hurts to start was always that he couldn't play in the NFL, frankly. Yeah. And, like, completely changed that. Like you said, having an MVP caliber season.
Yeah.
This might be, man, is this the best? Man, I don't want to say, is this? This is a damn good QB matchup for the Super Bowl.
Very much.
Absolutely.
Yeah, very much. I think more than the QBs themselves, this is an interesting matchup in terms of team building, right? So you've got your traditional quarterback, gunslinger type in Patrick Mahomes, can make a ton of incredible plays through the air with his arm. And you've got a guy I don't want to call him a game manager because he's not. He's so dynamic. But they've built around him. He is not the star of the show. They've built the team so that he can play more of, I don't want to say a supporting role, but more of that. He's less of the star than Patrick Mahomes is for the Chiefs, right?
Yeah. Jalen Hurts has kind of always lived in that alley, too.
Like, yeah.
He was great at Alabama, but he wasn't, you know, there were questions, and then he ultimately is replaced by Tua. And then, you know, he goes somewhere else and thrives at Oklahoma.
Yeah,
like, right.
And we're seeing it again. Yeah, NFL, like, they found a guy who was like, hey, I can use you. I can use a guy who's basically a running back who's also a very good thrower.
Yeah.
Like, I can work with this.
Cam, you brought up the point, like, Baltimore looking at Jalen Hurts is like, that's what we want Lamar to be. And I'm sure Lamar is looking at Jalen Hurts and the Eagles, like, look at what I could be if you gave me AJ Brown, if you gave me Devontae Smith, if you gave me
Dollar Store, and that's not fair,
right?
But Dollar Store Lamar Jackson is out here doing this,
you know,
and he's just like,
I'm sure Lamar and probably Tyler Huntley too. Now,
yeah,
he's looking at that team like, damn, I could that could be me, like, this could be us, but you're playing, like, that's what he's saying right now.
How do Tyler Huntley's and Jalen Hurts games compare?
Ooh.
Like, could Tyler, you just said, and maybe Tyler Huntley too, we've said Tyler Huntley is kind of a, I don't want to say he's a lesser version of, but he has a similar style of play to, like, Lamar Jackson, and that's why he's kind of been a good fit there. He obviously can sling it. He's got incredible arm talent. We know he can run. Like, I don't want to step too far out of bounds here, but is it crazy to think that someone like Tyler Huntley could fill a role on an NFL team similar to what Jalen Hurts is doing with the Eagles?
I think so.
I mean, great. So. I mean, body style is very different, right?
Jalen Hurts very different
is
running
so
style.
Much stronger than Tyler Huntley.
And again, that's the big thing is Jalen Hurts is durable. I mean, he missed a couple games this year, but he's big, he's physical, and he can take hits that I don't think Lamar or Tyler Huntley can really take.
Right.
But as a quarterback, you also have the ability to slide.
Yeah, I mean, like, so Jalen Hurts, he's a little bit more physical, can take a little bit more punishment probably, can also dish it out a little bit more. But in the end, like, if we look at the rushing totals and probably their averages, they're probably similar, right? Like, Lamar and Jalen probably averaging 7 yards a carry, maybe. I don't know what it is, but let's say it's that. Who cares what it is? But they look different. They go about it differently, right? Like, Jalen is probably breaking some tackles while Lamar is, you know, making tacklers miss.
Yeah.
And in the end, you're still only gaining 7 yards, but it's the same effectiveness, right? And I think Tyler Huntley can be that to a lesser extent, but he can be, he's a similar quarterback to Lamar and to Jalen Hurts. And I think, you know, you have this blueprint with Philadelphia now that, hey, if we get a guy in here that can execute the offense properly, we are able to build the rest of the roster around him. You can get him at a very reasonable rate, which I think is, it's going to be fascinating, right?
That's with the thing, salary that's cap. That's the thing that's staring Baltimore in the face right now.
Is the money, right? And I think a lot of teams will probably see this where how valuable is that quarterback position? Like, do I really want to invest $50, $60 million every year of our salary cap, which is a fourth now, where, or we can get a quarterback that is not the same, but he's close, and we can get him at a third of the cost.
Play a little bit of money ball.
And you can, and you can use that money to get, you know, an AJ Brown or Devontae Smith.
Right.
Ask Aaron Rodgers weapons. About that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's been complaining about it for
years.
How many years now? And it's like, well, I mean, you do also make yourself a hefty paycheck.
Yeah.
It's hard to pay these guys.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not losing sleep for the NFL owners who are writing these checks, like, how many receivers?
Not.
But like, yeah, I mean, when you put players around guys, they can make other things happen. I don't know. It is. I definitely like the idea because conventional wisdom says, yes, quarterbacks are that valuable.
Right.
Like if you can get, but it's ridiculous to think that all quarterbacks are that valuable.
Right.
It's ridiculous to think that Tyler Huntley is that valuable.
Right.
Right. Like, so if Tyler Huntley could get a reasonable contract on a team or something like that and an opportunity to build around him. Again, I don't know that he's proven that he can be a number one guy on a team right now, but I don't know. Maybe with the right fit, maybe with the right people around him, it's easy to see how he has kind of stuck in the league with his arm talent.
Yeah.
Or at least on the Ravens, right?
Yeah.
But I think he fits that mold pretty well. And maybe it's my Utah bias, but I love the idea of teams breaking away from this kind of, you know, seeing the quarterback tiers of Tom Brady and your Tom Brady's, your Peyton Manning's, your Aaron Rodgers. These guys are worth paying these ungodly sums that we can't really otherwise afford to pay anyone because they are, again, generational. They're people who simply, it's Michael Jordan in the 90s, right? The Bulls were paying him like 30 times as much as everyone else on the roster or something. It was crazy because there were no salary caps for individual players. And but it made sense because it was Michael Jordan. But you wouldn't spend that on another shooting guard, and you shouldn't.
Right.
And so, yeah, I'd love to see maybe some teams switch back to as the game flows. Like, yeah, what if we lean more into what you'd call a game manager and think about the quarterback position differently than maybe we have traditionally? Because there are only so many Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herberts who can make any throw you ask them to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're getting to that point where, again, getting back to the salary cap, and we're not salary cap experts, we're not NFL experts, but I think like we're getting to that point where these quarterbacks earning this astronomical amounts of money, like not everybody is going to want to spend that. And I feel like a guy like Tyler Huntley could benefit tremendously from this, where you've got Jalen Hurts kind of giving you a blueprint of a guy that he's not top five talent in the league, a Patrick Mahomes, a Joe Burrow, Josh Allen. You know, he's not that at that level, but he's just below. He's a guy where when we have a team around him, we know we still have a good chance to win. And I think Tyler Huntley is a guy that could benefit from that tremendously and preserve his career the rest of the way. I think he's in the Pro Bowl this year, and it's a great opportunity for him to interact with a lot of these guys that he's looked up to over the years. And I think that alone is tremendous opportunity for him.
So. Well, and just the visibility, right?
Right.
And getting to know those players. And it sounds dumb, but the NFL is a really small world. And like any other industry, networking is important.
It is.
Spending time with these players who have pull with their teams and who have pull with their owners and making relationships. And like, that sounds stupid, but that's how you stay in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, I think because of his style, because of his arm talent, I'd be really surprised if he's not a guy who just hangs around.
I agree.
Oh, for sure.
I think he can be a guy that's in the league 10 years, 15 years, maybe, as just, you know, a guy that can carve out a niche, carve out a role type thing.
Yeah. Or even be a solid backup on what do they call him? A journeyman for the NFL.
Yeah.
And be a solid backup guy for 10 years. Like, that's a solid career.
It's a lot of money.
You get a lot of money. Over the course of your career. You get an NFL retirement. Right. Like, yeah, we could all do much worse.
Much worse. Yeah.
Britton Covey on the Eagles. Sorry.
Speaking of doing much worse.
Speaking of doing much worse. Yeah.
My goodness.
What a year for him, right? So this time last year, he's coming off a Rose Bowl berth, coming off the first Pac-12 championship at Utah. Been there for years, seeing the rise of the program. And now his first year in the NFL. He's going to the Super Bowl. Pretty cool. Pretty damn cool.
The legend grows. The legend grows.
What, like it's hard?
Yeah, I guess, right? But it's pretty cool. And then Brian Johnson, too. And I know you guys talked a lot about Brian Johnson on last week's episode, which was great. It was a lot of fun to hear you guys going on about him. He's in a situation now where he can benefit. He can really, like, I don't want to say cash out, but really capitalize on this opportunity with the Eagles going to the Super Bowl.
This is the moment.
This is his. Yeah, this is a great
moment
for him.
This is when offensive coordinators turn into head coaches or get the next big job type of thing. Like, yeah. Go win this game, have an impressive showing, and yeah, like people will call for the big job. It won't take long. NFL coaches or NFL owners love to hire people who are hot in the moment, right?
Yes.
So that's the best part about being an NFL coach. You don't even have to be a good NFL head coach. It's just like college coaching. Just get hired, baby.
Yeah.
Just get hired. In the NFL, you get hired once. I mean, it's less, you know, less so with black head coaches. We've seen they don't get the opportunities that other head coaches do over, like, we see it repeatedly, right? It's an ongoing scandal in the NFL right now. And so would be amazing for him to get an opportunity like that from that standpoint.
Yes.
But like, just having him crack into that, like, I don't know, it is an uphill climb because he's a black man in NFL coaching circles. Mm. So seeing him have that opportunity is really huge because it is, Mike Tomlins don't fall off trees in the NFL. It is very odd that, like, that he's been a head coach in the NFL in terms of the rest of the landscape, right? It's not odd that he's head coach, I guess is what I'm saying. It is noteworthy because other franchises aren't hiring black coaches and leaving them on their staff for 20 years.
Yeah. There's a lawsuit going on about it right now.
Yeah. It's why it's just so cool for him to have this opportunity right now. If just to see him in the big show as a coach, right? As a coordinator. This is in terms of being like a offensive or defensive guy, this is the dream as a coach.
Yeah.
Coach doesn't get higher than
this. This is the pinnacle. Yeah. The pinnacle of the sport, right? It's like everybody is trying to get to the Super Bowl. Like, as an athlete, as a coach, like, this is what you, like, this is the big dance. This
and not,
is it.
Yeah, and not only doing that, but you're doing that as the guy that you're specifically coaching up is in the MVP votes.
Oh, that's huge, right? Like, Jalen Hurts being the guy, MVP season, like, that's your guy. That's huge. That's huge for Brian.
And again, with how important quarterback is to these teams.
Yeah.
They put so much importance, maybe too much importance on it, right? Like, QB whisperers get hired. They don't go anywhere. Anyway, no, it's so exciting for Brian Johnson. Like, I kind of opposite stories with him and Britton Covey in terms of getting to the Super Bowl. Like, Britton's right. Hey, I'm going to kind of an unexpected guy to be drafted or not. You know, he gets pulled into the league as an older player. He's undersized, makes a roster. Does special teams work, doesn't get let into the locker room by security, right? Like,
parking lot.
But in the first season, here he is in the Super Bowl, right? Britton Covey's, you know, everything he's touched seems to turn to gold.
It's incredible.
And Brian Johnson's the opposite. Like, got drafted after an amazing Utah career where he, you know, had to earn his position over a long time, over a lot of years, despite a lot of frustration from fans, and ultimately turned out to be a legend.
Yep.
Gets drafted, kind of just, you know, doesn't stick in the league, but, you know, falls into coaching back in Utah and in college and starts moving his way up. And, you know, that is a completely different grind. Go talk to coaches about what that life is like. And I'll tell you, it's a hell of a lot harder than being a college player in a lot of ways, right? Making no money, working really long hours, and he made it. He's in the Super Bowl.
And doing it at like different at multiple schools too. Like, you know, doing it at Utah, then going to Mississippi State, then going to Florida, and now getting a shot with the Eagles in the NFL, and he's just hasn't faltered. Like he's continued to put his, you know, his head down and work and work and work, and now he's coaching an MVP candidate in the pinnacle of football in the Super Bowl.
And I think it's amazing too to think back this time last year. So Dan Mullen fired from Florida. I think, you know, Utah fans were keeping an eye on Brian Johnson and what he's thinking, what he's going to do. And I think at the time, you know, when he signed on with Philadelphia, you're just kind of like, oh, okay, he's going to go to the NFL and then he'll be back in college for however long, like whatever. This will be nice for him for him to learn. And here we are now talking about him, the journey that he's been on with Philly this year, guiding a quarterback to an MVP type season. I don't think anybody had that on the list as something to look forward to with Brian Johnson going to Philadelphia. Most of it was just like, yeah, he's going to learn a lot in his stint here, and then he'll be back here. Nobody predicted Philadelphia would have a quarterback with an MVP season in the Super Bowl. So it's been tremendous for him to not only benefit from being in Philadelphia, being in the NFL, but he's contributed to it. Yeah. He's helped Jalen Hurts perform at this level. And that is really, really cool. And I think is the driving force behind the increasing interest in him across the league. He's been, I mean, you search his name on Twitter in the NFL circles, and he's been talked about as a name to keep an eye on in these offensive coordinator hirings and all of that. And that's been really cool. He's interviewed with a couple of organizations. Nothing's come of it yet. I think obviously the Super Bowl playing a role in that, but I think it's really, really cool that he's now in this situation, and it's because of him and what he's done, what he's earned. So it's really, really cool for him to have this moment, to have this time.
I have a question for you. If you're Brian Johnson and Alabama offensive coordinator Tommy Reese calls and says, I need a QB coach, do you take that job?
No. Hard pass.
Uh-uh. No.
Going back to college for nothing short of an offensive coordinator?
Man, offensive coordinator?
I don't even know about that.
Yeah, I don't know.
You think you need the big job to go back to college at this point?
I think it's head coach, right? Because I think, so.
Has he called plays since Utah?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't think he has.
I know I called him a coordinator Dan earlier, Mullen, and that was false, but I don't think, because Dan Mullen called plays at Florida.
He was the one that called the plays. So I don't think that's accurate. I don't think that's the case. So
that's my only concern with, and maybe that makes sense for him to move to a head coaching job, maybe because the head coach would probably not be calling plays if he were head coach, you know, bring in a coordinator who would. But I don't know. I would wonder if teams would want some play calling experience. Anyway.
He was the OC at Houston in 2017.
That's right. After I knew there was another stop
after Mississippi
stop in
State.
There.
He had one. He was 1 year right. The OC at Houston.
That's right.
All over the place.
That's right. But I think, and so part of why I'm so like, no, he's not coming back to college. The schedule in the NFL compared to college is so much lighter. You're not recruiting 365. You're not having to be on the road away from your family all this time.
Your resources are effectively infinite.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
The GM is recruiting for you, right? So he's taking that burden off of your shoulders. All you have to worry about is
the money is in plain sight.
Offense, yeah. So
and
that's,
you're not dealing with it, right?
Right.
You don't have to. It's yeah.
In Alabama, it's like how hard is recruiting actually? Like I don't know.
But yeah, that you walk in the room and the QBs that are in that room are your responsibility, right?
Right.
Like it's not your responsibility to fill that room with QBs like it would be in college. It's a totally different game, and it's funny we were talking about salary caps and stuff in the NFL, and that's effectively the difference between college and the NFL at this point is if you like the NFL, you're a big fan of salary caps. College football, we ain't got them.
Nope.
Nope. Kind of need them. Kind of need them now.
We've never had them. I don't know how we ever will. But yeah, that's the biggest thing, right? So if you're a fan of salary caps and you're a fan of the NFL model, I guess there it is. But yeah, college football, if you're not a fan of salary caps, if you're one of the NFL folks who are like, no, free market forever, come join us. We have college football.
Yes, yes, we do.
We've been a free, really unregulated, probably fraudulent market for,
decades.
I don't know, 100 years now?
For a while, yeah, since we started.
And it's
really
not changing. It's not going to change either.
Oh, yeah. No.
It
no,
ain't changing.
It's not gotten less dirty.
No. Uh-uh. So, yeah, so Brian Johnson, Britton Covey, Alex Whittingham in the Super Bowl. Pretty cool opportunity for those guys for former Utah.
How cool would it be
ties.
If Covey gets a touchdown?
Oh, smokes. That would be pretty incredible. Yeah, that would be pretty incredible, to say the least.
On the table, for sure.
It's on the
table. It's one of those odds that are higher than you would think, right? It's like when you're looking at prop bets for the Super Bowl, Britton Covey, punt return, ooh, touchdown will be a like probably better odds than like wide receiver number three will score a touchdown.
You think so?
Well, I mean, just because fans love the idea of a punt return,
sure,
touchdown.
Okay,
and so, fair. And we know there will be punts. You know, I don't know that the third wide receiver is going to get targets, but I know Britton Covey is probably going
to
catch
that
a couple
might
balls.
Be worth tripping to Wendover to put some Wendover money down. That might be worth it.
Is that worth it?
Put some money down
like $20
on
bet on Covey.
Yeah, that might be worth
in the
it.
Super Bowl?
Yeah, that might be worth it. Oh, that might be worth it. That
I
would
make
be fun
that trip.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I might run down the street screaming if it happens.
Are we good? Any other final thoughts on the Super Bowl and that?
I feel like we didn't give Alex Witt a lot of shine, but this is not his first one, right?
No.
Yeah.
He was with the Chiefs and they won it.
Yeah, act like you've been there before, Alex.
Yeah.
I don't know this. What does he do? What's his position?
That's a
what's
great question. I have no idea.
What is his job title with the Chiefs?
Not concerned.
He's a Whittingham, yeah.
Couldn't possibly care less. Yeah.
He's there.
Honestly.
Earned a paycheck.
Honestly, if he was driving the bus, I don't care.
I don't care. He's there. No, I asked just because I actually like legitimately want to know like what his, because he's been there for
I think
six,
he's
7 years.
Do they have quality control in the NFL? I know they do in college. Do they have that role in
defensive
quality control coach for the Super Bowl, whatever that number is, 44 champ, 54 champion?
54.
Ooh, man.
There you go.
Super Bowl live champion, Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, God, live.
The live Super Bowl. I forgot about that. yeah, so cool. Good opportunity for those guys. It'll be fun.
Sorry, Alex. Love
you,
but
we still love you, bud.
Britain's got to get
fly,
this
fly, Eagles fly.
Yeah.
All right, let's switch subjects here. We were talking a little bit about offensive coordinators, so let's roll into the one here locally in Salt Lake City, Andy Ludwig. He's been getting some interest. I don't know how much his phone has been ringing off the hook, but he's been getting interest.
You're going to get some calls. He's going to hear this.
He is. I will probably.
He's going to be like, quit speculating about my job, Steve.
But I've been hit up a couple times from guys in our 24/7 sports network at UTZone, guys from Iowa, guys from Texas A&M. He's been talked about at Miami and now Notre Dame, apparently, as an offensive coordinator worth pursuing.
I was actually, when I saw that Reese got hired by Alabama, I was going to say Andy Ludwig actually makes a lot of sense for Notre Dame. I could see them throwing a bag at him.
Oh, yeah.
So that doesn't surprise me to hear that. The other teams you mentioned, Texas A&M, that surprises me a little bit.
Yes, that's
very
surprising.
I'm not familiar with his resume outside of Vanderbilt. He doesn't have other SEC experience, does he?
I don't think so.
Vanderbilt, Wisconsin, that's it. I mean, Oregon.
Briefly.
It's
like a year, right?
Yeah, that was it. He was at Cal. For
he was
a bit.
At Cal for a couple years.
He's been
San Diego State for a couple years.
All over. I just
but Wisconsin and Vanderbilt are probably
Vanderbilt
and,
feels
and
like
obviously.
Not real SEC experience. I mean, you got to see SEC defenses, but so maybe I guess you have it in that sense. So that one surprised me a little bit. The one that surprised me the most is Iowa.
Iowa. Yeah, Iowa.
I don't think it doesn't surprise me at all.
It doesn't surprise me
he'd
because
be perfect for Iowa.
Everyone in the country knows Iowa needs a head coach that can throw to tight ends. He'd be fantastic at Iowa. That's not the problem at all. Kirk Ferentz said like 3 days ago that he's like, I don't have any interest in being the first head coach to fire an offensive coordinator in Iowa history or whatever the quote was. Effectively, I'm not going to fire my son, Brian, because I'd be the first person to ever fire a head coach. Brother, you're talking to Andy Ludwig.
The only reason he said that is because Andy said no. Like, he just didn't say that part. He's not lying, he's just omitting.
Do you think Brian Ferentz reads Ute Zone and then he like goes into his dad and he's just like, "You didn't call Andy Ludwig, did you?" I read something. I don't think it's anything. I was just wondering. Wanted to ask you, you know, direct from the source. Just
Come on, Dad. You've been talking to Andy Ludwig?
And to be fair, this was the end of November, early December when I got the message from our Iowa counterpart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's when I would have been calling Andy Ludwig when I was in Iowa too.
So it makes sense. I think Ferentz was probably pretty interested in seeing if Ludwig would come bail him out, I guess.
I wonder if like after a bad game I guess, you know, that's right around Thanksgiving, you know, November, December. Was that just a dinner table argument that he's just like, you don't think I'll call Andy? I'll call Andy Ludwig right now, Brian.
This is just a family argument over Thanksgiving dinner.
Phone's ringing, Brian. Phone's ringing.
Oh,
pass the damn gravy.
that's canon in my head now. Like that, yeah. I will never not believe that now that you brought that up. I can just see it as him, or them arguing over Thanksgiving dinner and him just threatening his own son. But I'm going to call Utah's offensive coordinator right now.
I will.
Unless you shape up.
I will send you to military school. I will make you be the offensive coordinator at Navy. I have connections. I can make this happen.
Still can't beat me up. Still can't beat me up. So Iowa obviously makes a ton of sense in the family argument at Thanksgiving. The timing also makes a ton of sense.
Notre Dame
is interesting.
Yeah.
How mad would you be? You know?
Yeah.
Because coaches take jobs.
And look, like Andy Ludwig has said many times since he's been here, like this, he came here with, you know, this being the intention that this was it. He didn't want to move anymore. Like he came here and this was going to be his last stop. And I fully believe him. He's turned down a number of other coaching jobs. Miami, Mario Cristobal came after him hard last year, which makes sense.
Yeah,
which makes sense considering what happened.
How was Miami's?
He had some firsthand experience with Andy Ludwig's play calling last year.
I don't know. Miami's offense was good last year, right?
No, it wasn't.
They score like 17 points against an FCS team or something.
I think I saw after they fired their offensive coordinator, like what was it, a couple weeks ago, they dropped almost 100 yards per game from 2021 to 2022.
Oof, that's brutal.
Yeah.
That is brutal. It says a lot that Andy Ludwig is drawing interest from programs like this, and that he's even mentioned as a potential candidate for these programs. And
I want to apologize. The FCS team I was referring to, Texas or Miami, did not score 17 points. They scored 9 points, and that team was Texas A&M.
Ooh.
Oh,
yeah.
Ugh. Yeah, that's not great.
yeah.
So.
Texas A&M was good, though, last year, right?
No! What did they end with? They had 7 losses last year?
I think so. They missed a bowl game.
It's pretty brutal.
Texas A&M.
They were... Oh, man.
Things were ugly.
At the time. They were... Did they miss a bowl game? Were they 5-7?
Yeah,
they missed a bowl game.
The year after signing the number one recruiting class in the country, and then I think I saw... Well, they had like 25 commits in that class. They've lost 18 of them.
Yeah. No, they finished. Oh, this was their ranking at the time. I see. I hate that ESPN does that.
Oh, I do too.
I was like, they were 24th. How did they finish 24th with 5 losses? It's like, damn, there is some SEC.
No, they
did not finish 24th. They lost to Florida State by 42 points.
Oh, God.
Yikes.
Yeah, they lost. I swear, I think I saw somewhere they lost like well over half of that number one recruiting class this year.
They only scored 24 on UNC. UNC let like 3 teams put 50 burgers on them, including App State, who hung 60 on them in a loss.
I was going to say Florida A&M scored like 40. They got into a shootout with UNC. So Andy Ludwig getting interest. I was interested in like – his impact at Utah and offensive beta rank, or beta rank, which is like an advanced statistical. He does a great work. I'm blanking on who actually does it. I follow him on Twitter, but just blanking. But beta rank,
it's at Cam Utah.
Yeah,
it's mine.
Basically, so offensive beta rank is the sum of four factors that determine performance. So drive efficiency, how efficient are you? How explosive are you? Your play efficiency and the negative drives. So, you know, pretty, I think, good measures of offense,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
a nice round group of
Of factors there. Yeah. And so he has this cool little like history chart going back to 2012 of all the offenses in the Pac-12. Every team every year going back to 2012, Utah had the 7th best offensive performance in 2021. They had
like 7th best since 2012.
Since 2012.
Okay.
So this past season, they were 17th.
Okay.
And then in 2019, where was that? 2019, they had the 33rd best offensive performance.
Okay. So you're saying that in the in the history of the Pac-12,
yes,
Andy Ludwig has 3 seasons that are in the top 40 of efficiency?
Yes.
Yeah. That seems good.
That seems pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's doing a great job at Utah. And I know, like, there's always the frustrations with things, but I think it says a lot about Andy Ludwig, the job he's done in his time here, that he's been able to get this offense to where it is now, he's getting interest from Miami, from Notre Dame, Texas A&M, these programs, these big programs.
Those are the real brands.
Those are
We talked about brand value. Those have more.
A lot of brand value there,
more
for
than
sure.
Utah. You know, you don't have to look at the numbers very hard to be like, oh, yeah, they're at a different tier. They look at someone comes around, I'm looking for Miami. They don't live in this neighborhood. You are lost.
You're not quite high enough on the hill to find them. I was going to come back though, like not even like to talk about Andy's time here right now, but I mean, he was also the offensive coordinator for arguably Utah's biggest win ever in the Sugar Bowl against Alabama. Like, those were his, you know, what, all of Brian Johnson's years. That was Andy Ludwig calling plays.
He owns almost all of the offensive bests at Utah in terms of coordinating.
Yeah.
There's not really been, other than the time that Urban was here, I guess, there's not really been somebody who, I'll go ahead and say it. I don't think there's been a better offensive coordinator at Utah in my lifetime. Than Andy Ludwig.
Mm-mm. No, I agree.
Yeah, 100%.
I completely agree. And
his 2 stints have been Utah's peaks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and he's provided an identity and a brand that fits so well with what's been established on the other side of the ball. The two work together so well, Utah wanting to run the ball, the efficiency at which Utah does run the ball, the utilization of the tight end position and how that's kind of transformed this offense the past 2 seasons. It's really been remarkable what's happened with Utah football on the offensive side of the ball and how they've been able to kind of transform themselves. And it's benefited them on the recruiting trail. Now they're signing a top 25 class with offensive linemen that are top 10, top 15 type players in the country at their position. Like, it's just benefited Utah so much. And you know, it's Andy Ludwig and it's why he's getting interest from these programs across the country. And yet, he's comfortable. Like, he loves it here.
Yeah,
he's so comfortable here with Kyle Whittingham. There's the synergy between them. It's unbeatable. So he's here, and it's good. It's benefited Utah a ton, and so, you know, Utah's in great shape with Ludwig in tow.
Yeah.
Speaking of that relationship of his and Kyle's, do you get the impression that when Kyle is done, Andy is done as well?
Yeah, but I could see Andy,
or at least sticking around. Utah.
I could see Andy sticking around.
Okay.
I don't necessarily. I lean towards him being done when Kyle is done, but I think he could. I think he could stick around for another season, maybe potentially.
It feels
sort of like help the transition period.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
That would be a good move to try to have in that case, right? I mean, we've been speculating about Witt's retirement for almost a year now. I feel it's inevitable. If it was announced tomorrow, I wouldn't be surprised. but that's on no information other than vibes. Yeah. You know me. If you've listened to this podcast, you know I am vibe-based, evidence only. and I mean, I don't know. It would be great to have him stick around, but I can't help shaking the feeling that when Kyle Whittingham does hang it up, it's going to feel like we're putting a whole new coat of paint over this football program and we're starting fresh. It almost feels that way.
It does.
I mean, there will, I think collectively, I don't want to speak for anyone. We think collectively, I think that Morgan's the next head coach.
Yeah.
But how much else stays?
I think that's, it'll be interesting to see when that time comes, right? And we'll see what the staff, I think a lot of the staff will want to stay together, but I don't know. There could be some changes. Could be some guys making their exit. Who knows?
Crazy. It's going to be hard. That's not going to be easy for Utah fans or for me, right? Like seeing just an absolute institution of your program stepping away at any point, right?
This is like Bill Snyder retiring from Kansas State.
Right. What is your identity after that?
Like,
that'll
this
be
is,
really interesting.
Yeah. I think it's going to be, like you said, it's going to be really tough for Utah fans. It's going to be hard not seeing, you know.
It's going to be a rough couple years no matter what.
Yeah.
Because things are going to be different.
Yes.
Things will be different. And I think that's a point for whoever the next coach is, with Morgan Scalley likely being that guy. Like, he's going to want to put his stamp on the pro. Like, it's just natural for somebody to want to make it their own. Like, you still want to own the process and have that process. Like, they've got it down. It's a well-oiled machine up there at Utah right now with the coaching staff and what they do from a day-to-day basis. And you want to maintain that. But if you're Morgan, like, you want to make it your own still. Like, you want to put your stamp on it, and it'll be interesting to see the balance. And maybe, we're not there. We're not seeing it day to day. But how does he manage and balance that between maintaining what's gotten them here and wanting to put his own spin on this?
Like you said, college coaches are basically CEOs. Like, every time a company gets a new CEO, like the company I work for has done it twice in the last like 5 years. You hire a new CEO, they immediately rebrand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and that's like in like the CEO handbook. So like you said, like, if you get a new head coach, like, it's, I don't think he's not going to go away from like what Utah is right now, but I mean, he's going to want to make it like, you know, I'm not Morgan Scalley coaching Kyle Whittingham's Utah. Like, I am Morgan Scalley coaching Morgan Scalley's Utah. Right.
Look at Notre Dame. Brian Kelly left and Marcus Freeman took over, a guy from the same staff, and that couldn't be a different team.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No, I think that's a great point to bring
Kyle
up.
Kyle Whittingham is not Brian Kelly.
No. Not at all. Not at all.
But I mean, and Freeman didn't spend his whole career and time and everything with Brian Kelly either. But even someone who came from inside that program, the culture shift was dramatic and fast.
Yeah.
Right? That as soon as Kelly was gone and Freeman was announced, it was like, oh, is Notre Dame cool and fun now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird.
Well, and I think, so with Morgan, like, this is just using this as an example. Like, one thing that I've heard in regards to Morgan, if he does eventually take over, he would like to throw the ball around a little bit more. And just that, what does that do for not only your offense, but what does that do for the rest of the team? Like, how much more does it mean you're going to go more up tempo? Does it mean you're going to do these different things? Like, it just changes so much. A simple thing like that of wanting to throw the ball a little bit more, being a little bit more aggressive, and there are benefits to it. And Morgan, being the type of recruiter that he is, knows that, kids want to play in an offense that throws the ball around. It's going to help and benefit you there. And so, just a little thing like that can change so much.
Yeah. That's why he'll never be the head coach at Iowa.
So, who knows? But man, it's going to be an interesting bridge to cross when we get there, when Kyle Whittingham does actually hang him up.
Man, it'll be interesting too, because it is, fun and sexy as throwing the ball around more sounds, it changes the way you play defense too.
Yeah.
You have to change the risk tolerance you have for your defense. You have to change the kind of tolerance for just honestly acceptable play, right? Like if you were throwing around the ball that much, your defense is going to be less rested when they come back out on the field. You can't play the same style of play that you've been playing. Just fundamentally it changes. And so when the offense changes like that, the defense will change.
Mm-hmm.
And so that will be, I think, another hard thing for Utah fans to come to terms with is like, what if for this team to be great 10 years from now, the defense needs to be top 50, not top 10 or top 20, because the offense needs to be top 10, top 20 with a top 50 defense, right? What if that's the combination that you need to have? We don't know. We have the combination we have today, right? Where it's pretty balanced. Utah is right about like top 30, like high 20s mm-hmm. to low 30s in like offensive and defensive efficiency for both of them.
Yeah.
Special teams, throw it out the window. Who cares? We've proven we don't need it.
We don't talk about special teams on this podcast.
We kind of frankly have as Utah. I mean, in terms of like achieving Utah's goals,
yeah.
Utah's had the worst special teams performance they've had the last 2 years. They've achieved their biggest goal the last 2 years. Yeah, great. Let's invest even less in special teams. Fantastic. Sorry, special teams unit. We still love you. You're important. I just don't want you to get the same amount of time. But my point is simply that will change. Like Utah's balance of how they, you know, what if that is what's holding Utah back, is that we're so committed as a fan base, as a athletic program, as a team to, well, the defense has to be good because it's Utah.
Yeah.
And the offense is hurting because of that, and Utah's kind of peak performance is out of balance. It'll be interesting to see how that shakes up. It's very delicate.
To tie it back to what we were talking about the Super Bowl earlier, look at the Chiefs. The Chiefs do not have that great of a defense. Their defense is not that great, but they don't have to be because Patrick Mahomes can score in 30 seconds if you wanted to. Like, because the offense is just so explosive and so dynamic that the defense doesn't have to be all that good. They're playing for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and it's anyone who's coming at me like, if you're listening to this and you're like, well, the defense doesn't have to get worse just because the offense gets better. Like, it's not, they're not connected. That's a false reality.
They absolutely are.
Time is a limited resource. Players are a limited resource. Coaching, running plays on the field. You only have so many plays to run when you're doing practice. And when the defense screws up and the offense screws up, which one are you running back? Is it defense or offense? Because you can't do both.
Yeah.
And that's the thing you don't really see. You don't understand that, in a perfect world with unlimited time and unlimited resources, if you're USC or Alabama and you're confident like, oh, I can just get 5 stars on my offense and defense, that'll be fine. I'll just get a great offensive coordinator and a great defensive coordinator, that'll be fine. Utah doesn't live in that world. You have to balance your resources and your time. And so you're going to have to tweak the knobs a little bit of, let's give a little more offense here and see what happens. And we're going to, the defense... Again, Utah's just not the team who can be like, we'll just get another 4-star guy to stick on the linebacker position. You're going to have to make do with worse linebackers if you move guys to offense.
No, that's a really good point. Like, I mean, like you said, like you get a dynamic offense, that's less time off the field for the defense, recovering and
ask Oklahoma about that.
Yeah.
They have incredibly talented defenses.
Yeah.
And statistically, they're not all that great. Yeah, I was going to say, players can't get off the field, good. But that's not true. They get off the field quickly because the other team just scores.
Yeah.
And then they're off the field.
Well, and that too, it just shows how difficult it can be to switch from being a heavy offensive team and you bring in a guy, what's the head coach's name now that I'm blanking on that came from Clemson? What's his name?
Venables.
Mm-hmm.
Defensive minded guy, you can't just switch it overnight.
Nope.
It takes time to build your brand, and that's like what's so unique about this with Utah's. It's taken them years to get to this point as an offense.
You want to talk about brand value? Kyle Whittingham's brand value, right?
Through the
culture,
roof.
The culture in that program created by Kyle Whittingham.
Yeah.
That's what brand is. That's what branding is just building a consistent image and culture around. Like Kyle Whittingham's brand value with Utah football is peak. It's through the roof.
Super peak.
Yeah, but like to the idea that you could, and I think this is the best argument for Morgan as the next head coach, if like from just purely football standpoint. That culture is so hard to build and replace, and he was probably the best person to continue that.
Yeah.
And that's really meaningful. If you're Utah and you are thinking like, hey, I want to move away from Oregon because of everything that's happened, because of the scandal, whatever. I want to hire someone else or think about someone else. That's a major factor you have to consider. Like, yeah, we're blowing up the culture and starting over if we hire outside. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's good. You know, it's going to be hard. It's
you don't know until you actually do it. Yeah, like, you can't.
The Venables story is very much still unwritten, right?
Yeah. Very much.
Oklahoma will not be bad for very long. They'll figure it out. It might not be with Venables. It might be with somebody else, but they simply won't be bad for long.
Yeah.
Because they have the resources to not be bad for long.
Yeah.
Utah doesn't have those same resources. They got to be a little more careful.
Yeah.
We'll see. Man, I would love to continue this conversation. We'll probably just have to kick this conversation to next week. I feel like we've been going a little while.
Do we have time? I don't know. We've got so many other things to talk about for the next 6 months.
Yeah, we've got plenty of time to talk about this stuff. But
we just get so much access. We're just like, which of these stories should we discuss?
Good conversation. So want to say thank you to the listeners. We'll wrap this one up. Hit us up with some questions throughout the week. Like, yeah, we'll get to them. We'll get to the questions. We'll get to the comments and stuff. Like, we definitely want to hear from you guys. So let us know what you want to hear, questions you have, whatever it may be. We appreciate you guys. For myself, Steve Bartle, Cam Beck, Tyson Ball, and intern Bree, this has been the Utah Blockcast. I'm here.
Is intern Bree condescending? the car yesterday, Bree goes, when do I get a promotion to producer, Bree? And I said, when you start producing.
We can do producer Brie.